Romans 15 and verse 4. You'll notice some references I say are not in your lesson. Wouldn't be a bad idea just to jot them down there in case you later want to come back and look at it. And do remember, our lessons are archived, audio archived on the internet. Grandma's got the little baby. Very nice. The messages are audio archived, so you can sit down and you can go back and you can listen to them if the Lord had spoken to your heart or if there's something you wanted to catch. Romans 15 and verse 4. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the message that you wrote for us. Lord, this isn't the book of history, although it is, but that's not the primary purpose. The primary purpose was a letter from you to us on, Lord, how we should live and how we should act and what we should do and how we should honor your name. Lord, I pray that your word, that your spirit, would rule here today. Pray for our pastor over in the Evans Chapel. Lord, pray for the moving of your spirit there on people's hearts. Lord, I pray for folks here. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each individual heart from your word today. And Lord, it's amazing how we can see a passage so many times, and yet as we open it up again and again, you show us more and more. We thank and praise you for that. We're thankful for this, your word, given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We're doing Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith. And is this just a historical chapter documenting those men of faith and women of faith who stood for the Lord? That's not all it is. It is actually written for us. It is actually written for our admonition, for our learning. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Hebrews chapter 11, the word of God was written for you. It was written for me. This isn't just a storybook. This is God's word to you. This is God's word to me. These are written for our learning, for our admonition, for our understanding. These things are written to strengthen our faith. They're written to strengthen our faith. We need to build our faith. We need to build our faith now. As Americans, we've had it pretty easy for many, many years. And you know, since the book of Acts, and it seems like as people's faith was beat down and beat down and beat down, and the world kept trying to stomp people's faith out, it just grew and it grew and it grew and it grew. But in America, we've not had to live under that. I think there's probably a day coming when persecution is going to be coming to Christians. I would guess it's going to come from the Muslim world. They don't have much room for us. I was talking to one Muslim one time at work, and if they were to kill a Christian, it doesn't mean anything because we're, what do they call it, infidels? What do they refer to us as? It would mean nothing. Now, if they were to kill another Muslim, that would be a problem. It would be a problem. But to kill a Christian, what's the difference? We're nobody. Wow. Wow. And they say that we're not a people of love. Our God loves them. And we want every one of them to be saved. No matter what they've done, no matter who they are, we want them all to be saved because Jesus Christ loves them and died for them. And we would not want them or anyone to be in hell because there's no need to be. Why? Because God made salvation's plan. He sent Jesus Christ. We have God's word written to us to prepare us. The faith of Isaac, lesson 5. The faith of Isaac, lesson 5. Our memory verse, Hebrews 11:20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. God revealed to Jacob and Esau, God revealed to Isaac, and then proclaimed to Jacob and Esau those things that were to come. Following along in your lesson with me, lesson 5, the faith of Isaac. After two full paragraphs are given to Abraham in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we find a comparison in a brief mention of Isaac. Yet the Lord Jesus declares himself to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hebrews 11:20 says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. God calls our attention to something near the end of Isaac's life. He points us back to a single incident. From that incident, he wants us to gather truths that will help us to turn our eyes Godward and that will strengthen our faith in the Lord. We study these accounts of these men to see God as he works in their lives. We remember the expression found in the end of Hebrews 20 concerning things to come. Those things to come, we see some of them listed in Genesis chapter 27 and chapter 28. We're not going to turn there at this point. In other words, the incident to which God calls our attention points us to things to come. May the Lord reveal these special truths to us. The place God should hold in our hearts. The place God should hold in our hearts. There seem to be things in Isaac's life that reach out for our attention. In chapter 22, we know that Isaac was what? What happened to Isaac in Genesis 22? Abraham, what's that? He offered Isaac, he was a sacrifice in Genesis 22. In Genesis 24, we see that there was the bride for Isaac. In Genesis chapter 26, Isaac is redigging the wells that his father Abraham had dug. And then 27, we see the blessing. We see the blessing. We read of Isaac's sons in Genesis 26 and verse 19. We can turn there, please. Genesis 26, 19. By the way, if you have a question or something as we're going through this, raise your hand, wave it at me. I don't know that I have all the answers, but God's Word certainly does. So don't be afraid to ask me or ask me after class, whichever. Genesis 26, verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian. Verse 20. The podium moves around. The daughter of Bethuel, the Assyrian, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. What a good husband, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. What a place to go if we have a problem, if we have a question. Where did she go? She went to the Lord. She went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. The elder shall serve the younger. This is not something that was typical. Typically, the elder would have gotten the blessing. The elder would have been given everything, typically. But this was different. This was a plan that God had. And since God is writing the plan and created the plan, he can change the plan anytime he wants, can't he? He can do that. He can forgive David for all the things that David did. Why? Because he's God. Because he created David. That's why he can do that. He's God. He can do that. He can forgive. He can cleanse. God said, "The elder shall serve the younger." God revealed that it was Jacob and the sons of Jacob who would be the blessed line. Because the tribe of Judah would come along, and we know Jesus Christ as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Amen. The blessed line, Jacob would be the blessed line. Through this line would come the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 27, Genesis 27, verses 1 through 4, we see that Isaac's eyes were dimmed, and he called for the eldest son to bless him. I don't know what Isaac was thinking here. I can't tell you that. Because God had told Rebekah before the children were born, when she went to inquire of the Lord, that the elder shall serve the younger. And yet, for some reason here, Isaac has called the elder and called him to him and said, I'm getting old now. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here. I want you to go out and get me some venison, fix it, and then I'm going to bless you." God's will be accomplished in our lives. God's will be accomplished in our lives. We can go along with that, or we can try to get in God's way, but God's going to accomplish His will in our lives. It always seems to go better if we go with what God wants, doesn't it? It's certainly a lot easier on us. In verses 5 through 17, Rebekah hears that Jacob had it, that Isaac had indeed called Jacob, that Isaac had called, help me, Esau, and was going to bless him. And she hears that and she said, "Oh no, this isn't good." So she makes a plan of her own. Go get a kid of the goat. She calls Jacob. Go get a kid of the goat. I'll fix it. And I'm going to send you in there to dad. He can't see very good. And we're going to get you that blessing. Who was the blessing promised to? Somebody tell me. Promised to Jacob. It was promised to the younger. Did God have any part in all of this scheming? No, certainly not. This scheming was done because we're mankind and we see what needs to be done and we put these hands in action and we make those things happen rather than have faith in God. We make those things happen ourselves. 18 to 27, he comes to his father with the food. Jacob does. Comes to his father with the food. "Here I am. I've got the venison. I fixed it all for you. Eat up and bless me." And of course, Isaac realizes that voice is not the right voice. "Man, that's the voice of my younger son. Who are you?" Yeah, I'm Esau. Sure I am. For that blessing, for that amount of money, for that whatever, I'm whoever you want me to be, buddy. I mean, yeah, I'm that guy." And he wasn't. What a lie. "Yeah, the Lord was good to me today," he said. "That's how I got it so fast. Wow. Wow. The Lord was good to me today." Verses 28 and verse 29, the blessing. The blessing given to who? Given to the man that God had said it should be given to. Verse 37, "I have made him to be thy Lord." The younger had been made to be the Lord of the older. Verses 38 through 40, we see Esau begging after he had lost it all. He came in with the venison. He fixed it and brought it to his father. And his father said, "What do you mean? I've already eaten. I've already blessed. What do you mean you're..." And then the father realizes he'd been lied to. He'd been lied to. Jacob had tricked his way into something that God had already promised to give him. As mankind, we're something, aren't we? He had to trick his way into what God had already promised him. Verse 41, Esau hated Jacob. He hated him. You took my birthright. You took everything. I'm not getting much here, although he still got a blessing. And he said, okay, Dad's alive now. You wait till Dad dies. Wait till Dad dies. Then we'll even the score. Rebecca, being a good mom, thinks that's not good. He's going to kill him. I'm going to have to protect my son. Rebecca takes steps to protect her son in verses 42 through 46, and she protects her son. Genesis 27, as you read through that, I hope during the week that you read through all these sections that are above the questions. We obviously don't read through all that in class. So throughout the week, you'd want to do that Bible reading before you come to class. Genesis 27, what a chapter. What a chapter. A lot of things happening there. A lot of things happening. A lot of efforts on man's part. But yet still a faithful God working. Find the account of Jacob's deception to steal the blessing from his father, Isaac. And Isaac knew he had been tricked. He acknowledges, yea, and he shall be blessed. As Esau's crying, saying, no, no, no. And Isaac said, yeah, the blessing's gone. It's been sent. It's been given. It's been given by God, and he indeed is blessed. God wants us to remember this one thing. When this man came near the end of his life, he recognized that God should have his rightful place in his heart. When he realized he had been deceived, he said, I blessed him, yes, and he shall be blessed. The next sentence here, it says, he stayed with what he knew was true, and he allowed God to have his way. I'm not sure here where it says Isaac stayed with what he knew. Because even after the blessing was stolen and Esau came back, what did Isaac say? Your brother was here and he stole the birthright. He didn't steal, well, he did steal it, but that was given to him by God. That was given to him by God. And I'm not sure what Isaac's thinking here, and I don't mean to be critical of God's man. I don't mean to be that at all. But he was still favoring his eldest son. He was still favoring his eldest son. The partiality in the family. His family was divided. The father favored Esau, who was a profane man. He became the father of the Edomites, a profane and earthly people. The mother favored Jacob. Now again, these next two sentences. We would think that Isaac would say, when giving the blessing, I'm going to favor the one I'm partial to. But Isaac knew that God had said the younger was to rule. I have a problem with those three sentences. I don't see that in Isaac's life. I see Isaac had a plan, and he was doing his plan. I do not see that he did not favor the eldest. He brought the eldest. He called him. He himself called the eldest to bless him. And then even after the blessing, he said, your brother came and stole it away. Came and stole it away. So I'm not sure what the thinking is there. And if any of you know anything in Scripture where it says otherwise, please let me know. And I guess I'll stand up here in front of the internet and say I was wrong. But I do not see, I don't see it. And maybe there's a passage somewhere else where it refers back to it and says it. I don't know. But I do not see that Isaac was going with God's plan. God had told the mom, the younger shall serve the older. I don't know what happened here, but Isaac was not going the way that God had told him to go. Top of the next page. We can indeed have wisdom to be without partiality. Here the section is talking about the partiality in the family, between the mom and the dad and the children. We can be without partiality, can't we? In James 3:17, James 3:17, But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. We can be without partiality. Is it our tendency, as he says down here, that all of us have these tendencies? We're guilty of prejudice and partiality. All of us can have these imbalances in our affection. Certainly we can. But we have God's word to help us combat that. And how do we do it? We see in James 3:17 that indeed we can be without partiality. If we do what? If we walk in the Spirit. If we walk in God's word. And then Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do we as parents be without partiality? How do we keep the balance? We do what? We walk in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. When we wake up in the morning, where do our thoughts go? Do they run to a verse? Psalm 143, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way when I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Our mind should run to God's word. Our lives should be governed by God's word. When we have partiality like they had in this home, how do we deal with it? The only way we can overcome it is by faith in God. How do we deal with this? It's by faith in God and by following his word. By following his word. God had a plan to bless the younger. Nobody followed his word, and yet his plan was still accomplished, but we should follow God's word. The purpose of God in the world. In Proverbs 19:21, if you turn with me there, please. Actually, I see it's there in front of you. Proverbs 19:21. The Bible says there are many devices in man's heart. Nevertheless, counsel the Lord that shall stand. God's word will stand. In spite of all the efforts of mankind, God's words will stand. In other words, a man has many plans and many ideas and many things that he is determined to do, but God has an eternal purpose. God has an eternal purpose. And it's a blessing that God's purpose didn't get messed up. What if the blessing had gone to Esau? Huh. That wasn't the line. That wasn't the promised seed. That wasn't the promise made to Abraham and then passed on to Isaac and to Jacob and then down through until we get to Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. God has an eternal purpose, and he purposed that within himself. Why in himself? Because he's God, because he alone is worthy, because he alone is able to do it. God chose a man, Abraham. To him, God made the promise that he would send the Savior, and all the nations of the earth would be blessed because of them. That man had a son. His name was Isaac. Isaac had sons. Their names were Jacob and Esau. One of those sons was the chosen one. And it didn't happen to be Jacob. It was Jacob by God's design. It was Jacob. There was deceit that took place in the blessing, but Isaac realized that this was God's purpose. What was God's purpose? The deceit that took place? No, certainly not. When it says there that there was deceit, but this was God's purpose, he's not saying that it was God's purpose of the deceit, okay? He's not saying that here. God's purpose was going to be accomplished. The deceit was not of God. What was of God was the blessing of the younger to rule the older. The blessing that the seed should be continued through Jacob. As had been told to his mother in Genesis 25 and verse 23, when she had gone to inquire of the Lord, as she had been told, that's what God's purpose was. The deceit was not part of God's plan. It was not part of God's plan. Is it recorded in here? Yes. It sure is recorded in here. Because that's what happened. But that was not part of God's plan. Isaac came to find out that God had a purpose, and God's purpose was going to be accomplished in this world. Mankind can pass all the laws in New York they want, and all the laws in California that they want, and then they can pervert the rest of the nation as they take those laws and bump them out into the other states, and man can do that all he wants. But when it's all said and done, God will be glorified. God will be glorified. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is God, that he is Lord. And recently, as the gentleman preached that Jesus Christ was supposed to come, and people at work laugh and they mock, and what are we supposed to do anyway? I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to repent. If the guy's message was true, which it wasn't, well, actually, he just missed the timing, actually. Because the Bible says that unless we repent, we shall all likewise perish. Why? Because judgment is coming. It really is. It is coming. Now, did he know? No. Jesus Christ doesn't know. Why would he know? Only the Father knows. And someday the Father is going to say to the Son, it's time. Call your people. Judgment is coming. Salvation is needed in our lives. We need to be saved. Our good deeds will take us nowhere in eternity. Yeah, they will. They'll take us to hell, won't they? Because our very best deed is nowhere near the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Judgment is coming. Mankind needs to be saved. Mankind needs to recognize his sin, repent of his sin, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save us. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Amen. Very good. Praise the Lord for his word, written to me, written to you, to tell us how to live, tell us what to do. I hope you love this book. I hope it's part of your life. Memorize these verses. Hide them down in your heart. And no matter where you are, you have it. You have it. I keep saying memorize, memorize. You know why? Because a little over a year ago, I started memorizing Scripture, and God changed my life. God's Word will change your life if you love it, if you make it a part of your life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your Word. Lord, might we honor you in our lives. Might you be glorified through our actions, through our speech. Lord, pray for our pastor this morning. Now as he comes over, I pray for safety as he travels. And then, Lord, I pray again that your Spirit would move in the hearts of people today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.